our guest tonight, Joel, he's actually going to be coming to talk about when you feel broken and beyond repair. And I would love to ask you guys all here by just showing us some confetti. Has anybody here ever got to the place where they just felt broken or unusable? Wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Okay. So you guys are going to be able to relate to this. And that's what we love talking about here at the studios is things that real, just struggles and challenges and wins, but experiences that we all can probably relate to. So I think this is going to be a great show to have them come out and share. Well, okay. You know what? Let's not keep him waiting anymore. Yeah, Arcane, can you hit the guest intro? And guys, let's bring him with some confetti. Let's bring out Joel. Joel Vaughn, come on out, Joel. It's like the Price is Right. There you go.
Confetti.
Yeah, confetti.
You get confetti.
He's throwing confetti everywhere. Look at this. Oh, confetti.
Now I'm throwing up stuff that I don't need to throw up because I don't know what I'm doing. All right, here we go.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, that's great. We're so happy you're here. I love that you took the time and was brave enough to come out here and say, I'm going to go see what this metaverse thing's about. We don't know each other out at all in real life. So me could have easily said, no, I don't think so. You seem a little weird, a little crazy. But here he is. Maybe you like weird and crazy.
I remember you shot me a message and I was like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. And I get a lot of requests, but I was like, I can't say no to this. I got to find out what in the world this is.
That is awesome.
Here I am.
Well, you know, pretty soon, like, everything's going to be changing because we're preparing for Christmas events coming up. And last year, all I can say is last year, there was a big blizzard that came in. Someone came and decorated the whole studio. There were snowflakes falling outside. So I don't know exactly where it's going this year, but it's, you never know. Before we start, I would like to give 30 seconds. Can you give us 30 seconds? Tell people who you are.
Hi. Confetti.
Confetti.
My name's Joel Vaughn. I'm a CCM artist, Christian artist, and I have been performing and writing songs and leading worship since I was 7 years old. So that was a long, long time ago and way back in the 90s up to now. And I toured independently for a number of years and was offered a recording contract in 2015, signed it, and then took off and do the radio thing and all that. And I'm on the road pretty much consistently 24/7. When I'm not out on the road, I'm home or I'm in the studio with you guys now, apparently. Yeah.
You're a permanent fixture now, Joel. Thank you.
Woo, I'm permanent. No, I'm just kidding.
You're permanent.
But yeah, I've been doing the music thing for, you know, most of my life. It's crazy to think 30 years that I've used my musical talents, 20 years that I've been doing it professionally. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you?
How old were you when you learned guitar? Or how many instruments do you play?
I play all the basic instruments. So I play keys, guitar, bass, and I sing. So all the guitar, so electric, acoustic. I'm a producer as well, so I produce music.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah,
nice. That's amazing. Nice. And so, what is your favorite thing about, you know, playing music and being on the road? Like, what's the part that you love the most?
I love doing the music part, but I love meeting people and getting to hear their stories and how my songs have affected them. And that kind of gives me, because sometimes I get to a point where I'm like, you know, what am I doing this for? And then when I hear how my songs have impacted somebody else, I realize, yes, this is why I'm doing it. It gives me more of a motivation to keep going. So that's what I love the most.
Awesome. Okay. Did you, is that where you started, was playing like CCM music, or did you start playing a different type of music?
It's more embarrassing. So I started on the air conditioner condenser in my backyard in Columbus, Mississippi in 1991. And, I sang a song by, America's heartthrob, Donny Osmond, called Soldier of Love. That was the first song I remember singing, and also the first song I should never mention that, like, yeah, I think that was the first song I remember liking and performing. Yeah. I didn't perform it for anyone. I was standing on the back of an air conditioner because I saw, do y'all remember, like, Michael Jackson had a movie called Moonwalker back in we had that movie, and he would stand over like those vents, and the air would blow up underneath his shirt. He'd do the thing or whatever. And so I was just copycatting that as a 5-year-old. I thought that was the coolest. I was like, oh, and then I would sing.
So now you're going to go out and do that and throw confetti in here, right? At the same time, you're going to be like,
I'm going to moonwalk in here. I feel like I can moonwalk in here maybe.
Oh, I bet you could.
Probably not today since I'm only, an hour old maybe?
Yeah, an hour old. Yeah. You want to take it easy. You want to take it slow. Take it slow.
Although you seem to be advanced. Yeah. I think you're advanced.
I've played enough Call of Duty, so I think I'm,
there's some pretty cool games in here, too. Like, we have a game night, and there's a pretty cool shooting game that, like, a lot of people are like,
FPS games.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Well, you're going to have the headset for a while, so you should actually go check out Super Rumble. I mean, you have to check it out. It's pretty cool. But
yeah, my son saw this earlier, and he was like, Dad, I want to play that. And I was like, no, buddy.
Yes. No, you should let him.
Yeah, you should let him
go. Yeah, let him go. Like, yeah, definitely play it, man. Like, let him play it. I mean, that's up to you, but yeah, you're welcome to.
Right now. He's like, cool, does that mean to play it right now?
Yes, Dad.
I'm like, yeah, if you'll do the interview for me, son. Yeah,
he'll just snatch it right off your head. Like, see how people.
No, it's a lot of fun.
You got to work for it.
You got to work for it. Yes, that's right. No, he'll have a blast. He'll have a blast. No, that's cool.
Awesome.
Well, great. Well, thank you for giving us a little bit of insight of who you are for those people here that don't know who you are yet. Like, you know, when we first met, we were talking about you coming and I was sharing what the studio is about. And you mentioned about how you would like to maybe come and talk about a time that you felt broken and sometimes beyond repair. So I thought maybe we should start there. So I guess let's start with why the topic of broken and beyond repair. Why did that come to your thought?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those subjects that it's like, only so much you want to share, but also it's one of those things that I know a lot of the people that I work with in this industry behind the scenes, they have this sense that they have to present a perfect version of themselves because we often as human beings put, you know, pastors, leaders, Christian artists, anybody who's faith-based and a leader like up on a pedestal. So they feel like they have to have it all together constantly. And that kind of stinks for a lot of people because then they start to struggle with, sometimes sin patterns, issues or things that happen to them that happen to literally everyone else, but they're struggling with it behind the scenes because they feel like they have to have it all together. And so that's been something that in my life. So, you know, I graduated high school in 2003 and like out the gate was leading worship. You know, I was leading worship in high school with my brother, but I was always in a position where I was in some type of ministry, you know, even when I wasn't ready for it, it was like, all right, you can sing. You've already been using your gifts for the Lord. So you are now a worship leader. Congratulations. And I'm like, okay, I don't know. I have no pastoral training, but here I go. And so it's like, let's just throw him out there. And so, that's just kind of how my life went. And, I met my wife in 2003. And you know, I knew I was going to marry her in 2003 and her dad was like, yeah, no, you're not. You're going to go to college first. He's a much smarter man than me. I was like, we can live on love. And he was like, no, you can live on, money. You're going to provide for my daughter. I did propose to her in 2004 and, I didn't really propose so much as she knew that I had ordered a ring and it came in the mail. And so it was kind of the surprise was not there. I never got to propose to my wife. That's neither here nor there. I kind of did. But I didn't get to do the down on bended knee. She was just like, she's like, the answer is a yes. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Well, that's good. So anyway, proposed. We got married in 2006. My first job in ministry was doing music. And so I was a worship leader for a small group of, actually it's a large group of students for somebody, as young as I was, in a little town called Borger, Texas. And that's about 35 miles north of Amarillo. Anybody know where Amarillo is?
Anybody?
We got Dawn.
Yeah. Woo. Amarillo.
Wingnut over your nose.
Okay, so Amarillo, the only thing that we're known for is the 72-ounce steak. And and if you can eat it in less than an hour, you get it for free. And then your doctor bill is not free.
Right, exactly.
Oh, and then we have some Cadillacs that stick up out of the ground. So there's that.
And you said 72 ounce steak? Like
72 ounces, yes, sir. Like it's basically a slice of prime rib, not slice. It's like a roast. Why would anybody do that to themselves? I don't know. I think the person that holds the record is like a 90-pound woman, and she did it in like 11. I think
are you
like
serious? Wow.
Dead serious.
I'm Googling this when we're off the show.
You need to. They have a thing called the Wall of Shame, and most of them, they get to write their little comment. And this one guy said never again. And that said everything to me. I was like, I'll never try this.
Not going
to
do that.
No.
Yeah, that sounds like bad news. So,
it's terrible. It's terrible. So anyway, I lived in Amarillo Canyon. That's where I went to school. That's where my children were born. When we got married, we married in the church that we met in, me and my wife. Mm. And then we moved to Canyon, Amarillo, went to college. So I did get to marry her before I finished college. So that I did pull a fast one on there. But a year later, I'm a year in and I'm already starting to realize, you know, my brokenness. I grew up in a home where we moved around a whole lot. When I was seven, my dad was in the Air Force full time, but when he came home, I guess things just didn't line up the way that they had envisioned. And my parents had to file for bankruptcy when I was 7 years old. And so we lost everything, when I was just a little kid, everything. We bounced from house to house to house. A lot of people are like, well, why did you move around so much? Like, well, we were in the military. And then when we got out of the military, we lost it all. And so we kind of bounced around until we ended up in Texas. And that's, like I said, where I met my wife. But that kind of stuff affected me, as an adult, and I didn't really realize it. And I carried that pain with me, and a lot of other stuff that happened behind the scenes too, into adulthood. And I didn't realize how broken I was until I started working at this church in Amarillo and realized that my whole life I had been kind of hiding behind this mask of performance. Cause I started, like I said, I started singing when I was five years old, started singing on a stage when I was seven. So when I was seven, I'm performing. And so like all I knew of who I was as a human being was Joel, the performer, Joel, the guy that everybody liked the way that he sang. And like, if there was nothing else about me, he didn't like I could put this out there. And so I kind of hid behind that mask for a while until I realized I couldn't do it anymore. And I didn't even like me. And so I resigned from my position as a worship leader at this church. It was my dream job. It was I don't even know how many members there were at that point, something north of 10,000. It was a very large church. Oh, I was one of 13 worship leaders. And I resigned so that I could work on me. And my daughter was born that year. And that was our fifth anniversary at that point. And I wanted to know who Joel was apart from doing music and who I was apart from, all the things that I struggled with. And so, my son's tapping me on the shoulder. I was like,
I'm in this world. So before we continue the story, some of the things that you're talking about there, I would love to touch on some of that. Like, well, first off, I really think it's important too, like you're talking about how, you know, as an artist or somebody that's in the church, like if you're a worship pastor or someone that's even a Christian, we kind of can really start hiding behind a mask when we deal with these things. And I know like one of our co-hosts, Meta Olivia, has shared her, she's not here tonight, but she talks about how, you know, she goes to therapy now and she's like a big fan of that. But she said she was at a point where, you know, as a Christian, she kind of hid that because she felt like something was wrong with her. Because she felt these things. And what I think is surprising is in the industry that we're in and the radio industry or any kind of entertainment industry, I think that we do see people, you know, we know people are put up on a pedestal and it doesn't give them the freedom to be real about
who they
actually are. Yeah. Because, I mean, we've seen it. I know Don will know there's some people in here in radio that's in here tonight and we know like it's kind of it's a hard place for them to be real at times because people do look at them on that pedestal. And then if they do one little thing wrong, they forget they're humans, just like all of us here. And we all, like, how many here have messed up this week? Throw some confetti, right? How many in here would say like, okay, I did something that I regret this week or okay. So here we are. So, And that's, hey, Sills, how are you doing? Yeah. So it's that, that's important for us to remember that even for people that are performers or entertainers or actors or whoever, whoever, even somebody that it doesn't have to be in entertainment. It's somebody that you might look up to. They have struggles too. And I think that's really important to wrap our minds around because that helps us show grace and stuff. So when you got through this, you resigned and you go back and you're with your family and you're on this place of discovery, who you really are. Take us back there. So what are some of the things that, how your life started changing a little bit?
I mean, you kind of tapped into it. I went straight to therapy. Like I did that for, there wasn't like, I'm going to do this for a certain amount of time and hopefully it sticks, you know, kind of thing. I started with a therapist and, you know, it took me some time to find the right person to talk to that I could share everything I'd been through with. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up in therapy for 18 months with a therapist, just talking through, like learning how to, you know, not hide behind the mask and realize not who Joel thinks he is or worry about who everybody else thinks Joel is, but who does God say that I am? And so like that, beautiful. that was a process that I went through for, like I said, 18 months. And, at near the end of that process, there wasn't like, hey, you're going to take some time away for 18 months or 12 months or whatever, or a year or even 6 months. You know, there's no timeline on this, I guess is what I'm getting at. And so, I started leading worship again near the end, of that in December of 2012. Something like that. Anyway, and I didn't know if I felt a calling to even really do music anymore, but if I did, I wanted it to be absolutely loud and clear. And I thought it would be in the church, you know, as a worship leader. And what it ended up being was stepping out on the road and doing music full time. And that's kind of what I didn't think that would be something I would do, but like, God had other plans. And in February of 2013, I stepped away from a job at a church and was like, I don't know if this is nuts, if this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but it seems like the direction I'm supposed to go. And I booked 96 events on my own. I didn't even really try. Like doing that now, even as an artist that I've had multiple like songs charted on Billboard, that's difficult now. Nobody knew who I, barely anyone knows who I am now, but really no one knew who I was back then. And people were calling me left and right, like, hey, we've heard your story and what you're about. Would you come like speak to our youth and come share your testimony and share your music? And I was like, yeah, like, what, you know, why not? Some of it was, you know, do it for free. And some of it was, you know, we'll take care of you, you know, because that was my biggest concern is like at the time, my daughter was only 2 years old. She's 12 now, but she was 2 years old and I had to think about like, well, I have to have a job to take care of my family.
Right,
and
right.
God absolutely provided that year. Like we had more than enough, to get from point A to point B and for me to be able to do what I was doing. And so it all just kind of worked out.
Wow. Wow.
That's awesome.
That is amazing. That is amazing. The, what I love too is like, I love that, you know, you could look at that time. First off, when you went to therapy, like you said it was 18 months. This wasn't like a quick thing. And I think that's kind of the culture and the world, culture in the world that we're in. We kind of look for this quick fixes. We want a quick answer. How do I get through this? How do I stop doing this? But that really takes intention. Intentionality, actually step back, slow down, and really go through that process of discovering. And that's not a quick thing overnight or in a week. It takes time.
Well, and I really had to take music off the table. Like, you know, it's not that I didn't have aspirations or dreams to, you know, be a signed recording artist. Like I said, I stood up on an air conditioner condenser when I was 5 years old. I was like, I'm Michael Jackson or I'm Donny Osmond, whatever.
But you can stand up on this table, right? You know, you can do that.
Can I?
If you jump, there you go. There you go.
There he is.
I felt like Tom Cruise just now.
Yeah, he looks like Tom Cruise.
I love you.
I love you. I love you. Okay. You're like, God's looking down and now saying, you are breaking Joel. Would you stop, please? Like, no. what I love about that, that's a big deal. What you just said there, like you put music aside, like you knew like that's something you had to do to be able to find who you were and God, like your identity in him and what he was doing. And to be honest, I'm so glad that to hear. Like, I don't know Joel that much. I'm getting to know him more, just like you guys are right now. You know, with being in the entertainment industry and stuff, I love to hear that you went through that, even though obviously it's not something any of us want to go through.
Right.
But I'm glad that you went through it and learned that before you started hitting the road and performing. Because now that's what I love. I hear people coming to you because they want you to share your story, help their youth, because it's so important to let them see, like, hey, this is real. Like, we all struggle through these things. You're not alone in that.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, everybody here throwing confetti, they felt broken before. They felt beyond repair. They felt unusable. This isn't something that is not normal for a lot of people. A lot of us go through it. We just all put on the mask and
we
say
hide
no.
behind it.
You hide behind it. Yes,
or we hide behind whatever our vocation is, or a hobby, or whatever else, you know, that we can, like, absorb ourselves into, and something that, you know, like, yeah, something that we don't have to project what we're really dealing with. So,
yes,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. I was going to say that, I think it's hugely encouraging to me, and I'm sure to a lot of other people, to hear that, you know, and I'm sure, like, that 18 months, there's still things you probably work through, like, you know, you learn the tools to work through and things.
Absolutely.
But, like, you know, sometimes a problem presents and you think, all right, well, I just got to get this handled. I'm going to read some articles. I'm going to read a book, whatever, and get through this. But, like, problems that take years and years to damage you can't just be fixed, in a couple of days. So I think it's really encouraging, like, to think about if there's something that you're dealing with and you don't see it getting better right away, keep pressing in and getting those tools that you need and talking to someone and, you know, working with God through those issues, because it takes time, right?
It does. It does. And you know, that what I found is that not only applied in my spiritual life, but it also applied in my physical life. Like, one of a few of the reasons, why I did this is because when I was physically unhealthy, in 2010, I had a routine surgery, like a basic hernia surgery that nearly took me out because I was so physically unhealthy. I was about 100 pounds heavier than I am now. And it was one of those things that, like, you know, for some people it may not have been a big deal, but I struggled with high blood pressure, you know, and I needed to do everything I could to make sure that I would be around for my kids later.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be the best father that I could be, but I also needed to physically be better. So, because I had doctors telling me that, like, dude, you have the genes of a 75-year-old man.
Wow.
At 24.
Wow.
And so I started running in 2010, right after that surgery. And I haven't looked back. Like, it started with, like, trying to change things physically. You know, and then I realized, like, it's something deeper, you know.
Yeah, sure, right.
But and I never really got well physically until I addressed the spiritual and the mental. Like a lot of people probably think
there's,
like,
a nugget right there.
I mean, honestly, and you can see, I can share pictures of what I looked like before and after that 18 months. I really didn't do anything all that different physically. Like, the diet and the exercise, all that was pretty much the same. Only it just felt like things started, like, when the emotional baggage and when the spiritual baggage began to come off, so did other stuff. And so,
yeah, because it's so stressful on your body when you're carrying trauma.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out our links in the show notes, where you can join our private Discord community and find more fantastic resources and affiliate links. It's all just a click away.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you're enjoying this podcast, be sure to check out our links in the show notes, where you can join our private Discord community and find more fantastic resources and affiliate links. It's all just a click away.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's
want to hear something interesting, Joel? We have had another guest on this show that was almost taken out by a hernia surgery. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. That is very interesting.
His name's Todd Stack. His interview was fascinating. Like, if you ever want to, you should check it out.
I know Todd.
That's how you might know Todd. Yeah, you might know Todd.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I didn't know he had that in common.
When you said that about the hernia surgery, I was like, what are the chances?
If you ever want to hear his story, go to the Killer Bee Studios website and go to the podcast. You'll find it there. But his story was, you know, he had a hernia, but the doctor messed up and cut something like a main artery or something, and he almost died.
Oh my gosh.
And then he had to forgive. He had to come back, and God told him that he had to forgive that doctor. Going through this transition and, you know, of discovering who you are, God and stuff, how did grace play a role in this with you between God?
Well,
they had to play a role, right?
Absolutely played a role. Like when I said, I took a step back, I had made a lot of mistakes. I had been living in some pretty unhealthy sin patterns, and people had to forgive me, but I learned that I needed to forgive other people. Everything was rosy for me growing up. And unforgiveness was absolutely one of those things I struggled with for a long time. And honestly, I even after the 18 months, in parting ways with that church, I still dealt with unforgiveness for a number of years, and I'm like, I don't know why I can't get past this. Cause I thought I'd worked through this. I have all these tools. I know what God, you know, says about forgiveness and grace. And I know what he's done for me. Why can't I extend grace? And if it wasn't for the people that extended grace to me, namely my wife, to be perfectly honest, my wife and other people that I worked with, I don't know that I would have ever been able to extend grace to someone else. The lens that I view other people through now is vastly different than the way I used to view them years before. Like if somebody makes me mad, you know, I do, like, I'm not perfect, man. Like I get angry and, you know, offline, I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like this about this person. And he did this and he did that. And I talked through it. And then I realized, just like me, they are a sinner that needs Jesus too, you know, I forget about that whole log that's in my eye when I'm pointing out the speck in their eye. It helps me, to, you know, understand my neighbor, like my actual neighbor and my neighbor, like, just, you know,
yes,
the term neighbor.
Fellow man,
yep. My fellow yep. man, but like yep. In my case, you know, my actual neighbor and some of the stuff that he's dealing with. I mean, like what he was going through, actually, him and another guy from 10 years ago helped inspire a song that was about grace that I'm going to sing tonight.
Okay.
I see what God's brought me through and how he changed me, how he changed my heart, through the grace that he extended. Like I thought I understood grace and what Jesus did on the cross for me at a young age, because I accepted Christ, as a kid. And it wasn't until I had failed massively and saw grace from other people that I really understood, you know, what that meant, you know? And so I see that in other people now, and I'm like, I am not judging you. I'm not shaming you. It's not my place. Like my job as a songwriter and as a Christian is to lead you to Christ. And that's all I really want to do. Like, I want to share my music and I want to show people what God's done for me.
All right. Let's bring up the Q&A for anybody that has a question or a thought. So the mic will work where one person getting in at a time. So if somebody has a question or a thought that they would like to ask Joel or anybody up here, feel free to come on down the mic and everybody will be able to hear you. So, here comes Don. All right.
I do not know how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck.
Oh, come on. Really?
The answer is all of it. It's all of it.
I am here right now representing some of our listeners because they don't have headsets. And I told them that we were doing this tonight, and they wanted to make sure that you knew how much friend meant to them. And to me as well. When I heard it for the first time before we even aired it, I lost it. Because there's so many times, you know, I came into radio kind of sort of by accident. I didn't go the proper channels of going to school and communications or any of that. It just kind of really stumbled on my lap. And I've had a lot of thoughts of, am I really cut out for this? Am I in the right spot? Is this where God really wants me to be? Am I doing, you know, whatever? But then that song came out and I'm like,
okay, even when I'm my own worst enemy, I still have Jesus on my side, and that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. And everything's right. Kind of fallen into place from that. But I wanted to publicly tell you, because I know they're going to be listening to the podcast, and they'd be mad at me if I didn't tell them.
Awesome, Dawn.
But how much that song meant to them.
Well, thanks for letting me know. And I don't know if you knew this, Dawn, but yeah. I have a broadcasting degree. And
yes, I did know that.
Now I'm in music, so that ought to tell you how my life
and who else here can say that they've had a jingle written for them from Joel Vaughn?
Oh, you. Yeah. I heard about that. It's been like, two, three years?
Two, three years. Yeah, I still have that jingle.
I don't know that I remember the jingle, to be totally honest.
Hey, Dawn, I'm here to proclaim it, and you winked.
Oh. Yeah, I'm a smart guy.
Smart guy.
There you go.
Pat myself on the back for that one. Am I patting myself on the back?
Yes, you are.
Yes. You're kind of whacking yourself in the back of the neck, but it's like,
Whoa. You are totally double jointed, Mr. Killer Bee. Like, you should see what
we do like a talent thing. Like, watch this.
Oh.
We're gonna have a talent show here pretty soon. No, I'll explain it to you later. I'll explain it to you. Yeah, just do the robot. We'll explain it to you later. People aren't gonna want to know. They're not interested in that. I would say that's very interesting too. Because Mrs. Killerbee, what did I tell you today?
I think you told me a lot of things today, but which thing in particular?
I mean, this is what's good is like Dawn just shared that, and people are raising their hands. Like I've been preparing for. I got to do two talks at a conference in less than a week. And there's a lot of stuff that I'm trying to prepare. I got to talk about AI, and then I got to talk about the metaverse. And I've been preparing this AI thing, and I've been getting in my own head. And what did I come out and tell you today?
Oh my gosh, you're so putting me on the spot.
I am putting you on the spot.
That you said you just got to talk about what you know.
Yeah, well, that's not what I was looking for. But what I was saying was basically like, I don't feel like I can do this. Like, why do they want me to come talk about this?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm having a hard time. Like, I was like, you know, there's probably somebody better. And it's getting in your own head, too. And you said, yeah, but, you know, God's prepared you for this, too. Like, there's a reason. Like, they aren't just going to ask anybody to come share and talk about this stuff. Like, they see something in you. But it is. We get in our own heads in so many different areas of our life. But I think that's so important. Like you're saying, Mrs. Killerbee, now I know that you didn't listen to me. So,
yes, I did.
So we can talk about that during Honey Talks next time. So
we're
you guys know where we're
so
going.
Yeah, exactly. We're usually so much more in sync.
Yes. I got wah, wah, wah over here. Not even on the soundboard.
You didn't even need it.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's great. No, it is. It's important to see. Faded, come on down, man. Come on down. If you got a question, come on up to the mic, man. You don't have to raise your hand. Just come on down to the mic and
he is unmuting himself.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Thanks for joining us, Faded.
Hey,
good to see you, man.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, man.
Gotcha. I don't have a question. I just have a statement. Today, I wouldn't feel like, I'm sorry, my biggest interview, like, changed my family's life. And before I went there, I listened to your song, I Look at You, because I was so nervous. And I haven't been to an interview like 15 years for a new job. And I played that song, and it took a lot of weight off of me. And I got the job, and I just want to let you know that.
Thanks, man.
Awesome, man. That's amazing, Faded. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it.
I
love it.
It's going to make me cry.
So just to let you know, you have the Quest 2, and it is not good to cry in those. I mean, Faded's probably like, he's probably got sponges he's coming out right now trying to just drip the tears out. No, I love that, man. Thank you so much, Faded. I love you, man. You're such an awesome person.
It's not the first time I've cried in a headset. They'll be fine. Don't worry.
It's not.
I won't.
We always ask our guests to share, like, to kind of give us like a closing thought. And I would like to ask you, I guess, two things. First, before you give us your closing thought, I always say, let me give you one more thing, but let me ask for two more things. I'm always asking for a little bit more. So, I would like to ask you, what advice would you give to someone who might be feeling like they are beyond repair or used up? You know, there's going to be people listening to the podcast. What would you say to people that's in the place where you were before?
You are not too broken. You're not too used up. You are not too far gone. You can always run to Jesus. And sometimes I mean, first and foremost, run to Jesus. He's listening. He's there. That's first and foremost. And secondly, you probably have a lot more friends than you think you do. Even if you don't, cry out to Jesus, and he will lead you to those people. I truly believe that he led me to those people. And he led me to the right person to help me, which ended up being therapy for, like I said, 18 months.
If there's one thing that you would hope people would take away with them tonight, what would it be?
Kind of just what I said, like if you are struggling with that, you know, not everybody's struggling constantly, and some people are in better places in life mentally and spiritually. I know I am than what I was 10 years ago or even 2 years ago. But sometimes you could be walking along and then life just throws you a curveball, and suddenly you feel like you're right back at step. It's like two steps forward, 14 steps back. Mm-hmm. You know, get back up and keep moving. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And even if you can't see it, look for the pinhole. Like, look for it and keep digging and keep moving. It's worth it.
Hey everyone, I want to take a second and invite you to join us live in the metaverse. You can join us live at the Killer Bee Studios. All you need is your very own VR headset. You can order an Oculus headset using the affiliate link in our show notes. Not only does it help support what we're doing here at Killer Bee, but Meta will also hook you up with some cool reward points. So be sure to check out the link in our show notes, and we hope to see you at our virtual studio.